From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. And on this day, associations of healthcare providers in Maine come out in support of Medicaid expansion. And a new report finds New England electricity consumers paid billions of dollars more than necessary over 3 years. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
The Maine Medical Association and the Maine Primary Care Association are urging voters to support a statewide ballot initiative to expand Medicaid. Their announcement at a press conference in Portland today follows an endorsement earlier this month by the Maine Hospital Association, but the medical community's support is not swaying Governor Paula Page, who dedicated his weekly radio address to opposing Question 2. Patty White has more.
At the press conference at Greater Portland Health, providers shared personal stories of patients who struggle to access care because they don't have insurance. Renee Faye LeBlanc, the chief medical officer at the health center, spoke about one patient who lost Medicaid coverage after his wife got a small raise. Now, says LeBlanc, that patient has to pay out of pocket for substance use treatment.
Yesterday, he let me know that it's now cheaper for him to go back to using heroin than it is for him to stay in treatment.
LeBlanc says more than half of Greater Portland Health's 10,000 patients don't have access to insurance. Brian Wyatt of the Maine Primary Care Association, which represents the state's 20 community health centers, says health centers in particular bear the impact of people's lack of insurance coverage because they provide care regardless of ability to pay.
A yes vote on question two will help to ensure that we can continue to make health care available and accessible to those who need it most.
And it's a smarter way to spend health care dollars, according to the president of the Maine Medical Association, Charlie Padavina. He says he's witnessed patients who avoid treatment until their health issues develop into emergencies.
It's a false economy to avoid implementing the Medicaid expansion because we're paying for this coverage anyway. We're paying for this health care anyway. We're just not paying for health care for these people in an organized fashion.
Supporters of Question 2 say expanding Medicaid will provide coverage to 70,000 Mainers, support providers, and create new jobs. But Governor Paula Page sees the issue in starkly different terms. In his weekly radio address on Wednesday, LePage said expanding Medicaid would cripple the state's budget.
Before I became governor, massive Medicaid shortfalls derailed the state budget every year. But my administration eliminated those shortfalls and put Medicaid back on a sound financial footing.
If Maine expands Medicaid, the federal government will pick up about 90% of the tab. The Maine Center for Economic Policy estimates the state would receive about $500 million a year. But to cover the state's share of expansion, Governor LePage says it will cost Maine $500 million over 5 years. Beyond his concerns for taxpayers, LePage says expanding Medicaid would also remove incentives to work.
Maine should not expand Medicaid for adults who are capable of working.
Charlie Padavina says Medicaid often covers the working poor. Question 2 would expand Medicaid coverage to those who earn 138% of the federal poverty level. That's about $17,000 for an individual and $34,000 for a family of four. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In other health insurance news, a group of veterans and veterans' families gathered today outside the Bangor offices of 2nd District Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin to deliver more than 600 complaints from Mainers who say they're unhappy with Poliquin's vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act. The event was organized by the Progressive Maine People's Alliance to highlight the negative impact on a constituency that Poliquin says he values highly. A.J. Higgins has more.
Dick Bissell says he served his country without any reservations and believed that his health care needs would be met by the Veterans Administration and the Affordable Care Act. But the Bangor vet says his hopes for ACA coverage were dashed after the president's repeated efforts to repeal, weaken, or revamp the program over the past 10 months.
They want to see this health care law fail, and in doing so, they are literally playing politics with people's health care. What's worse is that my congressman, Bruce Poliquin, has stood by and let this happen.
Bissell says the best way that Poliquin could help the largest number of veterans and their dependents would be to join Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins in trying to preserve the ACA.
When you're deployed into a combat zone, you don't think about politics. You do your job and you stay alive, and Representative Poliquin needs to do his job. He took an oath of office to ensure the general welfare of the people he represents, and that's why I want him to speak up now, while there is little time, to join bipartisan efforts to stabilize rather than sabotage the ACA.
Bissell was among several veterans and veterans' families who spoke out at the invitation of the Maine People's Alliance, Mainers for Accountable Leadership, the Maine Small Business Coalition, and Common Defense. Gail White, a retired naval officer and owner of the Lubeck Brewing Company in Washington County, says the VA can't meet all the needs of vets in the U.S.
We veterans rely on Medicare, Medicaid, and in my case, I rely on private insurance that I was able to access only through the Affordable Care Act.
And according to a recent report from the RAND Corporation, the ongoing problems within the VA would worsen without the ACA. The report concluded that efforts to repeal or replace the Federal Affordable Care Act would likely increase the demand for service in the Veterans Affairs medical system and leave more veterans without insurance coverage. Still, some of those very veterans showed up at the Bangor rally to defend Poliquin's position on the ACA.
I'm a veteran and I support Bruce Poliquin.
Terry Ham Morris of Herman says Poliquin has supported numerous efforts to improve the lives of veterans, citing the CHOICE program, which allows veterans to get health care closer to home instead of making long trips to VA clinics or hospitals.
He's tried very hard to help veterans. He fought to get on the Veterans Affairs Committee. He's done everything he can to help them. He's kept the clinic up in Caribou. He's got another there's another clinic over on the other side of the state. I've never known anybody that supported veterans any better than he did.
Now, a spokesman for Poliquin said the congressman does not respond to what the office referred to as paid political stunts, such as the Bangor rally to preserve the ACA. Poliquin's staff also emphasized that Poliquin, who serves on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, had voted for the GOP-led American Health Care Act, an unsuccessful piece of legislation that Senator Susan Collins described as deeply flawed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
New England electricity customers paid billions of dollars more than was necessary over a three-year period. That's the conclusion of an academic analysis sponsored by a national environmental group, which suggests that the natural gas suppliers withheld fuel capacity needed for electric generation at key moments on the coldest days to the benefit of the company's affiliates. But as Fred Bever reports, some industry players and observers are skeptical at best, while one utility named in the report is calling it an outright fabrication.
The report's lead author, Vanderbilt University energy economist Matthew Zaragoza Watkins, says that on hundreds of occasions over the three-year period, gas suppliers Avangrid and Eversource reserved a certain amount of natural gas pipeline capacity and then at the very end of the day decided not to use it. That artificially constricted supplies on cold days when gas was most in demand, he says.
They had reserved it. Like a table at a restaurant, and then that table sat empty all day long, and then at the last minute they'd say, actually, we never needed that table anyway.
When gas is in high demand and supply is constrained, its spot market price goes up. And by Zaragoza Watkins' analysis, that makes non-gas-fired electricity from coal or oil and wind or solar resources, for that matter, more competitive. And he says that benefited non-gas generators, including those owned by affiliates of the two gas distributors, Eversource and Avangrid.
When it's more expensive for gas-fired power plants to run, everybody earns higher revenues. And what that resulted in over the three-year span of our data was about a 20% higher price on average for electricity, or about a $3.6 billion transfer from electricity customers to generators.
This report was published earlier this year and is a complete fabrication.
Tricia Modifica is a spokeswoman for Connecticut-based Eversource, who read from a prepared statement. She says the analysts don't understand gas and electricity markets.
The pipeline capacity we reserve is done so to meet the needs of our customers and no other purpose. We do not engage in any behavior to artificially constrain capacity. Our focus and actions are driven by our responsibility to ensure our customers have enough gas because we can't run the risk that they're left out in the cold.
A spokesman for Avangrid also says the company is following all rules and regulations and did not receive any windfall through its gas procurement practices. And the report's author and its sponsor, the Environmental Defense Fund, say they have no evidence that state or federal rules and regulations were broken. Instead, they say, their analysis highlights the need for regional and federal regulators to create more effective and transparent market structures. EDF spokesman John Koifman adds, however, that the report does raise questions about whether New England's gas supply issues are as dire as they've been painted by would-be pipeline developers, including Eversource.
Nobody is arguing that New England doesn't have tight capacity right now. The question is, how tight is that capacity, and what's the best way to meet it most quickly at the lowest cost?
Several industry observers say they are perplexed by the report and question its assumptions. Most say they need more time to digest the full report before weighing in. In Maine, the advocate for consumer interests, Barry Hobbins, says that at least it does raise issues that regional and federal regulators should review.
Because what we don't need is even the appearance of manipulation of quantities and price, especially during the winter season.
Hobbins says he does not think the report calls into question the need for added natural gas capacity in New England. The report's authors say they soon will submit it to a scientific journal for peer review. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. Thanks to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.